Hello everyone, welcome back to Is Pharmacology Difficult podcast, and today we are going to start with a new topic. We have finished with general pharmacology, highlighted points and the revision. Now we are going to start with autonomic nervous system, that is abbreviated as capital ANS. So what are the few important things you need to remember about the autonomic nervous system? It is basically involuntary in nature. And that is how the autonomically the activities are controlled in this system. And the organs that are supplied by the ANS, they do not undergo atrophy, even if there is a section of the autonomic nerve. And the main divisions of the ANS you need to remember are sympathetic, parasympathetic and enteric nervous system. Now, divided into sympathetic and parasympathetic, the division is anatomical in origin. The sympathetic system fibers, they arise from thoracic and lumbar spinal cord. That is why they are known as thoracolumbar outflow. And the parasympathetic fibers, they arise from the cranial and the sacral spinal cord. And that is why it is known as craniosacral outflow. Now, what are the cranial nerves that are involved? 3, 7, 9 and 10 cranial nerves are involved. And the sacral segments that are involved, they are S, 2, 3, 4. Okay? All these fibers, they come out, they form a synapse in the ganglion and then they supply the organ. Accordingly, they can be postganglionic fibers, they can be preganglionic fibers. So let's get to know about the sympathetic system. In the sympathetic system, the postganglionic fibers, they are equal or longer to the preganglionic fibers. And in the parasympathetic system, the preganglionic fibers, they are very, very long. The principal or the main neurotransmitter is acetylcholine at the neuromuscular junction and also at all the preganglionic fibers. So at the capital NMJ, that is neuromuscular junction, and at the preganglionic fibers, the main neurotransmitter, always remember, it is acetylcholine. What other points you need to keep in your mind? In the parasympathetic system, in the postganglionic fibers also, the neurotransmitter is acetylcholine. In the sympathetic system, there are different neurotransmitters in the postganglionic fibers. They can be noradrenaline. They can be dopamine, especially in the renal and the mesenteric circulation. In the sweat glands, it is acetylcholine. And also, it is acetylcholine in the sympathetic cholinergic system. While in the adrenal medulla, the main neurotransmitter is adrenaline. So there are differences in the sympathetic and parasympathetic system. Parasympathetic system is totally cholinergic. That is, the main neurotransmitter at post and preganglionic fibers is acetylcholine. That is very important. So once the impulse reaches the synapse, then the neurotransmitter is released. It can work on the postsynaptic membrane, that is containing the postsynaptic receptors. It can also show its effect on the presynaptic membrane or receptors. The presynaptic receptors, what is their function? They can increase or decrease the release of the neurotransmitter from the own neuron. They can be autoreceptors or they can be different kind. They can be heteroreceptors also. So presynaptic receptors can be of two types, autoreceptors and heteroreceptors. Now, autoreceptors which increase the neurotransmitter release are the nicotinic and the beta receptors, and the autoreceptors which decrease the neurotransmitter release, they are alpha 2 receptors and muscarinic receptors. But we need to know the different actions of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic system. Generally, they are opposite, but sometimes not also. Now, we have to get to know about the... We will study the different systems in details and then we will compare their actions. First of all, Coming over to the general and the main organs, the sympathetic actions in the heart is stimulation, while in parasympathetic action in the heart is depression. In the sympathetic action in the lungs is bronchodilation, and parasympathetic action is bronchoconstriction. In the GIT, the sympathetic action is decreasing the motility. The parasympathetic action is increasing the motility. As far as the urine outflow is concerned, it is decreased by sympathetic action, it is increased by parasympathetic action. In the pupil of the eye, sympathetic drugs, they cause mydriasis, parasympathetic drugs, they cause meiosis. And except the sweat, all the secretions are generally decreased by sympathetic action, while parasympathetic action generally increase all the secretions. That is a general overview. We are not commenting too much in details about it, but let's come to the system. First, I'll talk about the parasympathetic nervous system. I told you acetylcholine is a principal neurotransmitter. It is a principal neurotransmitter at the post and the preganglionic fibers. So the whole system is also known as cholinergic nervous system. Now, what is the synthesis of acetylcholine? It is synthesized from acetyl coenzyme A and choline, and there are various steps. Acetyl coenzyme A and choline, they are forming the acetylcholine. This acetylcholine is stored in the synaptic vesicles. The synaptic vesicles, whenever the stimulus arises, they move towards the presynaptic membrane, and then via the exocytosis, the neurotransmitter is released into the synapse from the vesicles, and then it can act on the presynaptic receptors, it can act on the postsynaptic receptors, and the uptake is uptake is also there of the choline. And there are various blockers in the whole step. The storage into the vesicles is blocked by the vesamecol. The release can be stopped by the botulinum toxin. Then hemicholinium, it affects the reuptake of the choline. So just remember one thing, uptake of the choline by the neurons is the rate limiting step in the synthesis of neurotransmitter. Okay, so cholinergic receptors can be nicotinic, they can be muscarinic. Nicotinic receptors can be ganglionic receptors like capital N, small n, and muscular neuromuscular junction receptors like capital N, small m. Muscarinic receptors, they are of five types: M1, M2, M3, M4 and M5. M1 are generally found in the central nervous system and the gastric ganglia in the stomach. M2 is found in the heart and the CNS. M3 are found in many places like bladder, bronchus, lungs, glands, eye, GIT, etc. M4 and M5, they are found in the central nervous system. Now, what are the various functions of the cholinergic system? I just gave an overview of that. Now we get to know in the heart, the parasympathetic system has a kind of inhibitory effect on the M2 receptors, and there is a resultant negative chronotropic, that is decreased heart rate and decreased conduction, negative dromotropic also effect. Bradycardia can occur. And decrease in the conduction occurs due to delay in the AV node. And bradycardia is the result of the decrease in the slope of the phase 4 of the action potential. In the blood vessels, always remember the blood vessels are not directly supplied by the cholinergic supply. But M3 receptors, cholinergic receptors are found on the endothelium of the blood vessels. If there is stimulation of M3 receptors, that will cause the release of nitric oxide, that is NO, from the endothelium, and that will cause vasodilatation. This is one mechanism of vasodilatation. Another mechanism of vasodilatation is the action of the acetylcholine on the noradrenaline. From where does the noradrenaline come? The vasoconstrictor nerve endings, they release the noradrenaline. Generally, sometimes what happens, the endothelium can be damaged. So if the endothelium is damaged, then M3 receptors are stimulated, and then the receptors in the vascular smooth muscles, they are also stimulated, and this all leads to vasoconstriction. In the eye, the cholinergic system, they stimulate the sphincter pupillae, that is a circular muscle of the eye, and that may result in meiosis. And the receptors involved are the M3 receptors. Now, acetylcholine can also cause contraction of the ciliary muscles of the eye, and then that may lead to accommodation. Now, on the other hand, the anticholinergic drugs, they can cause mydriasis and loss of accommodation, and that will lead to blurred vision. What is the effect on the glands in general? The cholinergic system, they stimulate the secretion of the glands, and that can lead to increased salivation, lacrimation, and sweating. And that the receptors that are involved, they are M3 receptors. Now you can imagine what will anticholinergic drugs will do. They will cause dry mouth, dry eyes, difficulty in swallowing. What is the effect on the urinary bladder? The cholinergic drugs, they stimulate the detrusor and they also relax the trigone. And that leads to increased micturition. The receptors involved are M3 receptors. And anticholinergic drugs may result in urinary retention. That is the opposite effect. What about in the gastrointestinal tract? The hydrochloric acid secretion, that is M1 and M3, it is stimulated by the parasympathetic system. And that leads to a kind of peptic ulcer disease progression. The peristalsis motion of the GIT is also increased, and the sphincters, they are relaxed. On the other hand, anticholinergic drugs can be used as spasmolytic agents for intestinal colic. What about the bronchus? The cholinergic drugs, they cause bronchoconstriction. The receptors involved are M3 receptors. And anticholinergic drugs, they cause bronchodilation. Now what about due to vasodilatation? Cholinergic system is also responsible for the erection of the male organ. That is also an additional effect. These are all the muscarinic actions. M1 to M3 receptors, they are involved. What about the nicotinic actions? Nicotinic actions, they are seen on autonomic ganglia and the neuromuscular junction. Now, both the autonomic ganglia of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic system, they are stimulated from the acetylcholine through the capital N, small N receptors. And the skeletal muscle contraction is also done by the stimulation by the acetylcholine. And that is the effect on the receptors on the neuromuscular junction, that is NM receptors. Now coming over to the drugs. What are the drugs that are involved in the parasympathetic drugs? Well, the drugs are the cholinergic drugs. They can be directly acting drugs, they can be indirectly acting drugs. Talking about the directly drugs, they are acetylcholine, pilocarpine, bethanicol, methacholine, carbachol. Indirectly acting drugs, they can be reversible, they can be irreversible. The reversible ones, they again can be divided into lipid and water soluble. The water soluble ones, they are the neostigmine, pyridostigmine, edrofonium. And the reversible ones, the lipid soluble ones, they are physostigmine, donepezil, tacrin, rivastigmine, galantamine, etc. In the irreversible section, again, they can be two types, organophosphates and carbamates. Organophosphates are malathion, parathion, diazinon, chlor, pyrifos, ecothiophate, nerve gases like tabunserin and soman, etc. Carbamates that are involved in irreversible drugs, they are carbaryl, propoxer, aldicarb, etc. The indirectly acting ones, they are the inhibitors of acetylcholine esterase enzyme. Now, what are the details of these drugs? That I will be taking up in the next episode.